It seems very simple, and we have an incredible staff, but I would love to have a very efficient a staff across the board, from custodian to cafeteria worker to whatever it is, to buy in or have ownership of the whole child first.
Very good. Yeah.
And being able to take care of that, and our response would be remembering that first.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Renee Colley. Renee is a superintendent at Old Mission Peninsula School District in Traverse City, Michigan. Renee, it's so great to have you here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I feel like it's an honor to be on this podcast.
Awesome. So tell our audience a little bit about your role and what's going on in your school.
For sure. Well, it's a funny thing, because if you had asked me even 6 years ago if I'd ever be in administration in a school setting, my answer would have been absolutely not. But here I am, because things evolve and life continues sometimes in directions that you don't expect. So I was a teacher for so many years before that. And then this role opened up. I became principal and then superintendent of our school that is preschool through fifth grades. One of the things that relates to the work that you do is we do really like to say, and I know that this is a trendy saying right now, but really we want to meet every child where they are at and really work with the whole child. So when they come into our school, it's, of course, we want to hit the academics because that's what we're there for. But we realize that in the day and age that we're at in our society, there's so much more to the child that's coming through our front doors and taking care of all of those things. So that's kind of a big drive at our school. And one of the reasons that we did incorporate social-emotional learning, SEL, as one of our core subjects. So it's just embedded in our master calendar and schedule for every day for teachers to be doing a lesson on that.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. I love that, because it's not just the kids that are acting out that are getting the emotional learning. It is all of the students. So so what does that look like for them then? What would be like a typical kind of lesson that they might have for the kids?
For sure. So a curriculum tool that we do use in our school is Move This World, and it's a great curriculum for SEL. And so that's every day. It's kind of a small lesson. It can be a short blip, about 7 minutes. It can have a little video. They talk about it. It could evolve. A lot of times it evolves for the teachers into a bigger discussion with the students, sometimes role playing. Maybe they're having a current situation within the class with those students. There are so many resources to have those mini lessons on, and then can help with those things. So that's the tool that we have to follow, not that they follow a script, but to follow a script, so to speak.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then something that we also started this school year is we have partnered up with Dr. Lori DeSaltis. And she is an amazing person. She's been a teacher. She has a doctorate in neuroscience, and she has applied it to neuroscience and education. Is she has also realized our students are coming in with a lot more. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of things going on in the background, and we know that we can't access our academics at the full potential until we meet those underlying needs. So, we have partnered with her and have been learning all year. It's really applying it to teachers and staff first, looking at ourselves about this neuroscience and realizing how our bodies work and how our nervous systems work and our responses, our triggers, our backgrounds, and how it has made us more conscientious of how we are responding to students. And then we're going to take that in the next school year, everything that we have learned for ourselves, as in this book we're using as our framework, Body and Brain Brilliance by Dr. Lori DeSaltis. That's when we're starting to incorporate it into our school for our students, if we haven't already. Some teachers have just done it. And that's not like a tool. That's I'd say like a lifestyle, because it's already within us. And
yeah,
how we are taking that and responding to it.
That is fantastic. You've got an opportunity. You know, it kind of, when I think about it, you know, it's like we as a society are, I don't want to say growing up or evolving maybe a little bit, just as, yeah, I read somewhere, you know, we have the gift of everything that comes before us for the world that we live in. You know, it's like buildings that were built in 50 years ago, 100 years ago, we have access to those things, and the people that were there before them don't. And I see that progress, and that, you know, it's like PTSD, you know, nobody knew what PTSD was in World War One and World War Two. And now it is like, it's a clinical diagnosis. We know, and I know for a fact that my grandmother's youngest brother, he definitely had PTSD. He became an alcoholic, and he died of alcoholism because of what he saw in World War II. He was one of those guys that went behind and collected bodies. It was horrible. Oh. But yeah, so you can imagine the trauma that he experienced. But they didn't know that back then, and it affected his entire life and eventually killed him. Mm-hmm. And you know, so, but it's one of those things where it's like, if we had known then what we know now, he probably could have gotten the help that he needed to manage. Now, that doesn't mean that he would have gotten better. Who knows? But I love the fact that that's a pretty extreme example, but it's exactly what I'm talking about with social emotional learning and teaching kids and teaching your staff. I love the fact that you're teaching your staff as well, because we as human beings really need to understand where we are in our heads and in our bodies before we even get in front of the kids, right?
For sure.
If you have a bad day, you have a bad day. You try really hard to turn it off and to be okay. I even told you at the beginning, okay, so now I'm going to tell on myself, right?
Yes.
So I come into this particular podcast, and I was just racing. And Renee, she's so kind, and she's so sweet to me. I'm like, I am so unprepared for this, because I was just running. But you know, recognizing that, okay, I'm okay now. And, you know, we can turn it off for a certain amount of time, right? But it, sometimes it just seeps through, right? So, and that's me talking way too much, but it just is, I'm just impressed. I'm really impressed with what you guys are doing. How is your staff responding to it? What kinds of things are you seeing? What changes are you seeing?
So that's a great question. I feel like at the beginning of the school year, when this was kind of brought to the forefront, that this is what we're going to be working on for the school year, I am passionate about it. I've known Dr. Lori DeSaltis for the past couple of years because of the work our local ISD has been doing with her. And I've been to her talks and all that. So I have been really ingrained with her, and I like what she has to say and what she is teaching, because it's not another thing or another plan or another piece of to-do work on a list.
Mm-hmm. It's busy work, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's learning our own nervous systems, our responses, like what we can do, and recognizing why we're behaving the way we are and or reacting, and what we can do about it and make it for the better. So I came in very excited about it, and staff is great, teachers, everybody are great, but I could sense that, like, this is just another
resistance.
Another.
Oh, here we go again. Another PD session, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
We have kept it up. Every 2 weeks, we would do a session and come together. And I had a small team that works at the school. One's a school counselor. One was a teacher that they also jumped right on that train.
Embraced it. Yeah.
So that was nice to have their voices, and it just wasn't admin on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were so excited, because we just got together a couple weeks ago and looked over the survey we had sent out at our last session as a staff, asking like, how are you feeling about this? What's your takeaway? Everything was, it was very positive remarks. And we've had teachers, you know, we keep saying, this isn't something to do in your classroom right now. This is looking, examining yourselves. And we've had teachers go, oh my gosh, that polyvagal chart that you do right now and you're sharing with us, I want to start that in my classroom right now. Like, why am I waiting for this?
And so right.
The takeaway, seeing that there is long-term, you know, sense in this, and it's not like a curriculum. It's just like we're living our responses. It's been a very positive outcome. So kind of excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you plan, I know administrators, we love our data, right?
Yeah.
So do you have a way that you're going to track this once you start? And is that something that you're doing or is she going to do? What is your plan for? And I'm asking more because I know there's others that will want, you know, my hope is that someone else will hear this and go, oh, wow, that sounds really cool. How do we implement that? What is the next step? What is your next step? How are you going to track it?
Okay, so we're going to definitely track our internal discipline logs. These are for the teachers and administrative's eyes to see in tracking behaviors in the school and thing like that. So we're going to keep an eye on those, see if there's an improvement throughout the school year. We have a school counselor that works part-time in our building. So we're going to be working with her to come up with a system as well, because her caseload right now of kids requesting to see her is out of
high.
She's like, I can't keep up. And she feels really bad and everything. But we're going to find out a system with her to see how that's going over, because a lot of the things that she does now when students are needing the attention from her are exactly the things that this body and brain brilliance, the framework we're using from Dr. Lori, that's exactly what's being taught to all of us as the adults in her building. So we're hoping by utilizing those, it will minimize the need for that extra attention or one-on-one time a student is feeling that they might need. So it's still in the works. It's also on my summer to-do list. I like to dirt in the building, but definitely going forward with that as well.
And it is June 4th, everybody. So, because there's about 2 months. You're probably going to be well into it by the time this is published, because we're about 8 weeks out. But that's really, really great. And I also see, too, you are investing. You're investing in your teachers and you're investing in your kids. But that's going to produce fruit that is going to actually save the district money, because your school counselor isn't going to be pulling her hair out anymore or feel like she needs extra help, because some of these issues will resolve themselves because the kids will know how to manage them. And that's an amazing tool. If we could get more people to be able to manage their social emotional, you know, status. My husband loves to show me TikToks of people that are just totally freaking out, you know, and it's just, you know, he just thinks it's funny. And I'm like, it's not really all that funny. This is a person that needs some serious help, but they're just, you know, just ranting, just absolutely ranting. And I shouldn't laugh. Excuse me. Forgive me for those people that have those emotions, because it is hard. I get that. But sometimes when someone goes off like that, it's just, you just go, wow. I don't know that I would want to put that out there.
Yes, exactly. You know? So, I understand what you are saying. And unfortunately, as you know, in mental health services or schools, I hate to say this, but it does all come down to funding, doesn't it? Like how we are able to run our buildings. And so there's not the funding there. It's just not. And that's the fact. I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole and
we get it.
Because I get it from, you know, government level. I'm sure there's just so many factors within it, but it's not there. So you're like, okay, I can't have a full-time counselor. I don't have the money for that. I can't bring in more services. We don't have, what can we do? What can we control within the building? And I just love this one of the neuroscience, because it's not only helping the students, it's helping the adults. Like, I have taken away so much myself from what I have learned from this, and I can be a lot more patient with my husband.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've learned some strategies. No, he's great. Yeah. But you know, those types of things.
I did a Mark Gunger is a Christian family or I don't know. He's a coach for marriage coach. And he does workshops and stuff. He's really funny. He actually puts the funny into it. And one of the things that he said when you talk about husbands is like, he talks about women's brains and men's brains and how they're different and how everything for us is connected. And men have boxes that they put their emotions in, and one box doesn't touch the other box and all of that. But I heard this. I mean, this is 20 years ago, and we've been married for 30 years. And
well, for you, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. And he still kind of likes me. He loves to joke. He's like, yeah, we've had 5 great years of marriage.
I love that. I get it.
So, but he, one of the things he said so I'm just kind of relating this to what this did for me was he talks about how women tell their husband something once and they think that they've told them. And he's like, we probably didn't even hear you the first time. You know, it's like, if the TV was on, we definitely didn't hear you. You know, he's really funny, but
yeah.
I took that away. And that is something that has helped my marriage so much because it's like, I know if he hasn't done it and I told him to do it. Now, sometimes he doesn't do it because he digs his heels in and he's a man and I love him, but you know, it's just how he is. But I know that if it's something that's important to me and he knows it's important to me, I just have to tell him again. And then I have to tell him again, and then it gets done, you know, and it's like that. So those kinds of things, those pieces, I mean, so you're talking about not just helping with the kids, you're talking about helping with marriages, helping with relationships with friends. You're talking about relationship with our peers and our children. Yeah. The lasting impact. Kudos to you guys for taking this on and moving forward with it, because that's incredible, really incredible.
Well,
so,
thank you. Yes, hoping it feels like it's moving in the right direction. So hope just to keep it moving in the right direction.
Yeah. One of the things that I've said in the past, because Lighthouse Therapy, I'm a speech therapist of 31 years. And I always tell people our mission statement is to be a therapy company run by therapists for therapists for the betterment of students. So always the students. We always put the students in the middle of everything that we do, which is exactly what you guys are doing. But I always have said, if you take care of the therapists, then they are in a better place to take care of the kids. 100%. So it's that same concept. You know, we mentor our therapists. We tell people there's no stupid question. Make sure that you get your questions answered. You know, come to us. Make sure that because with virtual, it can feel isolating. You know, I've worked from home since 2011. Oh, so, wow. You know, it's one of those. Yeah. So, you know, you really have to make sure I have the experience to know, you know, and exactly what you're talking about is exactly what you're doing for your staff. So, yay. Good for you.
Good. So, thank you. Thank you.
One thing I often hear from school leaders is I just want a partner who puts students first. At Lighthouse Therapy, that's exactly what we do. We don't have outside investors and we don't answer to shareholders. Instead, we answer to school leaders like you, those listening to this podcast. Whether you're wanting virtual, hybrid, or in-person therapy, our systems are designed to make your life easier and your team stronger. We are a therapy company run by therapists for therapists for the betterment of students. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter-together to learn how we can help you support your students this year. So I have one last question. That 18 minutes went really fast. Boy, that went fast.
Yes,
it is, doesn't it? I try to ask everybody. I don't always, but I try to ask. So, and you cannot say money. I already preface it. Mm-hmm. In your world with what you have, if you could miraculously solve one challenge, what would it be? It was gone.
Like
in your world, in your, yeah, professional as a superintendent, if you could solve, I know you're solving the SEL stuff, but what else in your world would you want to solve? One thing, just one thing, what would it be?
Okay, this is so funny. And I will try to be quick because I know our time is running out.
No, you're okay.
But so the principal that I work with in our building, which is a small building, she is younger than I am, and we laugh about it a lot, and it's a good relationship, but there is a generational difference, right? So when she first started to, and we work closely together, we share the same office. I know I'm superintendent, but I'm still there, like supporting her, working with the kids, because I love, that's the part of the job I love. So anyway, we work very well together. So this generational gap, which I'm saying is all lighthearted, like there's no animosity or anything.
Right. No, no, I get it. Yeah.
We do a lot of jokes about it. But when we first started working together, if there was a issue in the school or a little problem or whatever, I would say, well, in my dream school, we would have X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. And the first couple of times, she's just looking at me weird. So finally, I'm like, what? What? Like, in your dream school, what would you have? And she goes, Renee, my dream school doesn't, or my generation doesn't have, like, a dream job. We don't. Our generation is, we wouldn't be doing a job. Like, we on the beach and living the good old life. And so,
wow. Yeah.
Which is true. I've done a lot of studies and listening about this closing the generational gap, because a lot of my staff is, I'm not that old. All these listeners are going to think I'm like 92 years old.
No.
But just closing that gap and wanting to understand and be a better leader and knowing how to work with that. And it's definitely a true thing about them. But so,
yeah,
it reminded me when you asked that question, it's like, oh, yeah, all the time I am saying in my dream school.
Right.
So I guess it seems very simple. And we have an incredible staff. But I would love to have a very efficient, I don't even know how to put this, this is hard to put, a staff, across the board, from custodian to cafeteria worker to whatever it is, to buy in or have ownership of the whole child first.
Very good. Yeah.
And being able to take care of that, and our response would be remembering that first. And so I think that question, you're probably disappointed in my answer, but
no, I love your answer. I think the reason I asked this question, Renee, is it really gets to the heart of what's important to you. I've had to like tweak the question a little bit over the last 60 podcasts, because, you know, it's like, we always kind of poo-pooed the money piece of it, because we all know that we all want more money, but I wasn't really saying that lightheartedly like I am now, but it really gets to the heart. And I've also made it so that it's specific to your world, right? Your, what would you fix in your world? I've really had to add that piece of it, because there's like, yeah, I would love to change society. I would love to change how, you know, the kids are. I had one guy, he had a really great answer, but he was like, my goal would be that every child come ready to learn, well-fed, safe, comfortable, you know. And it was a great answer, but it was a great answer. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, and I don't want him to say whoever it was, because I don't remember.
You're right. That should be my number one want.
But that isn't the focus of that question, and how I'm trying to pull from people is where's your heart? Because when you ask that kind of a question and it's your world, that's what I'm looking for is where is your heart with your kids and with your position, you know?
Right.
So that's why I asked that question, because it's really, really just trying to make sure that people understand that the reason that Lighthouse Therapy started this podcast, Brighter Together, is because you guys and us as educators are getting beat up by the media and by, I actually was watching a show the other day, and I had to turn it off because they were just beating up on education. I was like, okay, all these people that are in this room, one of them had school-age children, and I'm pretty sure his kids went to a private school. Two of the others, one of them has an infant, and the other one never had kids. And it's like, and you're beating up on education when you are, I was mad. It just made me mad.
I hear you.
You know, yeah. And it's just like, you don't
understand. And until you understand, you know, and the people that are making decisions are people that generally have not done public school. And, you know, you're taking your worldview, because we all have one. We all have a worldview.
Yes, we do.
But you're making policies and making decisions not based on what's really happening. So Brighter Together is about, let's talk about the amazing things, because people like Renee Colley are working hard for your school district to make it a better place. Mm-hmm. And that's the piece that needs to be out there. And that's part of the reason why Brighter Together exists, because we're brighter together and people need to know that. Mm-hmm. They just do.
And I support your mission 100%, because that's exactly right. And thank you.
I feel like I've been on the soapbox a couple of times with you today.
That's where we all are, but it's great. And that's when somebody asked what I was doing this afternoon. I was explaining. I said, just, you know, if we could all just do a little piece to get out in our country and in the world to share what's going on and what y'all really do, maybe it would make a difference to help those policymakers and everybody see.
My prayer for Brighter Together is that people hear it. People hear what's going on. You know, it's like, it's not about Lighthouse. It's not about me. It's about some, you know, that it will make an impact, that what we're doing is going to make an impact in the world, in the United States, for education. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that is. And I'm a Christian, and I believe that God will take whatever he's going to take and do what he's going to do. But that's why I do it, you know, because it matters. Okay. Anyway, well, let me close up, because now we're at 26 minutes. It's great. But I could talk to you for another half hour and not run out of things to talk about. So Renee, tell me, where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about your school and what's going on there? Where do they go?
For sure. You can always go straight to our website at www.ompschool.org is where you can find all that initial information and kind of get a glimpse as to what we are like. Always call and ask. You can tell I would talk all day long. I'll give you whatever information you want. We can have a coffee and
there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. That is fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on Brighter Together. Keep up the good work. You're changing a generation. It's great.
Thank you so much for having me.